have searched the earth, the air, even the sun and stars in their never-ending quest for knowledge. And now in this NBC educational feature, the United States Department of the Interior Office of Education brings you the wonders of that unique establishment, the Smithsonian Institution, dedicated to the increase and diffusion of knowledge. Is that your encyclopedia, I see? Good. Take out the volume marked S. Now turn to the section marked Soto.
Yes. Soto. Fernando D., Spanish captain and explorer. Named commissioner of the lands of Florida. De Soto led an expedition searching for gold through the southern states, finally reaching the Mississippi River.
A few brief facts. Facts that stir the mind with questions. What manner of man was this De Soto? Who was the woman to whom he brought a fortune? What hardships did he suffer? What was his fate?
Listen, and you shall hear more of the gallant, tragic story of Hernando De Soto.
Chapter 1.
Our story begins in Spain. It is the year 1514. Chance has given Spain a whole new world. Two great continents. In these lush years, Hernando de Soto, an obscure young schoolboy, has grown up. He is 14. Born of impoverished parents, he has become the ward of a Spanish nobleman, Count Don Pedro de Avila. The Count's lovely daughter, Dona Isabella, becomes attracted to this impetuous young boy. There are walks in the garden. And then, one night...
I've made up my mind, Dona. I'm going to ask your father tonight.
He'll be very angry, Armando.
Angry? At me? Why? He has thrown open his home to me. I am just like a son to him. Why should he refuse me your hand? I have proved myself a gentleman. Am I not a gentleman?
Yes, but you have no money.
Money? Does that make a difference to you?
Of course not, but in Spain you are not really a gentleman unless you have money.
Does your father think that?
Yes, Hernando. That's why I ask you to wait.
No. If I wait, he will betroth you to someone else. He'd not refuse me simply because I have no money.
Money is my father's life. Anyone who does not have it must bow before him.
Oh, I don't believe it. That may be true with others, but not me. See what he has done for me. Sent me through school. Given me a home.
Yes, but never fear, Hernando. He will not let you forget it. Nor will he let you forget your station in life.
Oh, it is not so.
Father is coming.
Hernando. Is that you, Hernando?
It is I, Count de Avila. Did you wish to see me?
Yes. Will you come into the house for a moment?
Immediately. See, Dona, your father wishes to speak to me. Perhaps on business. Who knows?
You will not ask him, Hernando. Please. Promise.
Oh, I shall promise. Yes. Wait for me. You wish to speak to me, Count de Avila?
Yes. Sit down, Hernando. You're getting to be a big, strapping boy.
Yes, sir.
How old are you now, Hernando?
14 years old, sir.
Yes, just about the right age.
What do you mean, Count de Avila?
How would you like to become a page boy, Hernando?
Here? To you?
Yes, to me. But not here.
Not here?
No. I suppose you've heard that I've been appointed to the governorship of Castillo del Oro in the New World.
The governorship?
There is opportunity for a strong young boy in America. Gold, riches. A chance for fame.
You want me
yes,
to...
Yes, it's about time you started to make your way in the world. You are coming to America with me.
Chapter 2. Castillo de Oro, the Isthmus of Panama.
Days passed into months, then years. De Soto became an officer. Time after time, he risked his life in the performance of duty. Youngest of all the officers, he received only a small share of the riches that poured into the colony. The end of the rainbow seemed no closer than when he had left Spain. De Avila proved himself a tyrant and ruled the colony with barbed hand. At night, the men would gather near the square to talk about this man into whose hands they had placed all their hopes for fame and riches.
Shut the door, Pedro. The cries of the Indian slaves grate on my nerves.
It was De Avila who, his idea it was, to chain them there in the middle of the square.
Yes. Leave it to De Avila to think of new ways to torture these poor heathens. Pedro, What do you think of this young chap who came over with De Avila?
De Soto?
Ah.
I see nothing wrong with him. He certainly isn't lacking in nerve.
I understand there is something between him and De Avila, a rivalry of some sort.
A rivalry?
Oh, come now. Surely you've noticed it. De Avila gives De Soto every dirty job he can think of. I have to admire the boy, though. He does his job well. I think De Avila is jealous of him.
Ah, De Soto is too soft with the Indians.
Well, he'll learn. There he is now. Well, if it isn't the dashing young captain himself.
Have either of you seen De Avila around here?
Ah, Captain De Soto has fire in his eye.
Have you seen him?
I suppose he is in his quarters.
What seems to be wrong?
Do you know what the men have been doing today?
What?
They've been hunting. And do you know what they've been hunting? Indians.
That's nothing new.
Well, you're too soft, De Soto. It's great sport. You should try it sometime.
Governor De Avila sends a message to you, Captain De Soto.
Oh, he does. And what is it this time?
You are to muster your troops of cavalry and proceed to the large Indian village near the river.
And?
Burn it to the ground and kill every person in it.
You tell the governor that my life and my services are always at his disposal when the duty is to be performed is such as may become a Christian and a gentleman. But in this case, Captain Perez, I think Don Pedro would have shown more discretion by entrusting you with this commission.
I will give him your message exactly as you have put it to me, Captain De Soto.
So, he refused.
He did. And in exactly the same manner which I related to you.
Well, my friend, if you, a vigorous young soldier, can endure De Soto's insolence, I see no reason why an old man like myself should not show equal forbearance.
You mean?
Of course. Would you let him insult you?
What?
All right. All right, if you wish to let the insult slip by like this.
Yes. Yes, I see it now. If De Soto thinks I shall forget this, he is wrong.
I wonder if you will go back to Spain now, Hernando De Soto.
De Soto was a fool to accept the challenge of Perez.
Yes, Perez is the best swordsman in the colony.
Are you ready, Captain De Soto?
I am.
Then unsheathe your sword. Now, prepare to defend yourself, De Soto.
Perez is down. My sword is at your throat, Captain Perez. I give you a chance to ask for life.
You think I will beg for it? You may pierce my throat before I will.
Then you may have your life. A life which is not worth asking for is not worth taking. Good day, sir.
De Soto goes to explore Nicaragua. De Avila's jealousy finally causes open disagreement between the two men. He attempts to take De Soto's life, fails, and De Soto retires from the service of De Avila. De Soto continues to search for the end of the rainbow, but it seems farther away than ever, for riches lure him deeper and deeper into the wilderness. Then one day, he pens a secret letter to Dona Isabella, far away in Spain.
Most dearly beloved Isabella, for the first time within 5 years, I write to you with some assurance that my letter will reach your hands. It is so hard for me to say what I am writing. The expectation which brought me to this land has not been fulfilled. I can gather no gold except by such means as my honor, my conscience, and yourself must condemn. Fortune has disdained to smile upon me. I love you far too well to regard my own happiness more than your welfare. If, therefore, in girlhood, you made a promise which you now regret, as far as it is in my power to absolve you from that engagement, you are released. As for me, the obligation and my love are sacred and eternal. Pardon my boldness in supposing it possible that I still have kept a place in your remembrance during all these long years. I am forever and devotedly yours, Hernando de Soto.
Again, the pages of De Soto's life turn swiftly. Spanish reign spreads out. The boundaries are pushed from Central America farther and farther south until they reach a new land, the land of the Incas, Peru. Here is what the Spaniards have been looking for, wealth beyond their wildest dreams. A few short years of bloodshed and war, and Peru is in the hands of the Spaniards. After 16 years, De Soto's dream is realized.
Well, Captain De Soto, you're a wealthy man. $500,000 in gold.
And it took more than 20 years to get it. I came here a youth, and I leave as a hardened soldier of fortune.
Leave? You're going to leave? Why, the wealth is just starting to pour in.
I've waded through enough blood to get this. Besides, I have an engagement in Spain. An engagement I made 22 years ago tonight.
Chapter 3, Spain Again. The youth who left Spain when he was 14 returns a man of 36. Days on the ocean, gazing always ahead, ahead to the horizon, and finally Spain. A hurried trip by stage over rutted roads, and then...
Will you tell your mistress she has a visitor?
I think the mistress has retired, senor. I shall see her.
The same room. The same cold, dusty room where I sat with Donna 22 years ago.
Senor?
Donna.
Donna? Who are you that called me Donna, senor?
You are as beautiful as ever, Donna.
Senor, be careful.
Let me step into the light. Now, Donna, look at me.
Oh, no. No, it can't be you.
It is, Donna. It is.
Hernando! Hernando! They told me you were dead. I'd almost given up hope.
Did you not receive my letter?
Yes. But that was 11 years ago.
11? Has it been that long?
I knew you would not forget, Hernando.
I am a rich man now, Donna. I have come back. Will you marry me?
Yes, Hernando.
Donna. Donna, mine. Mine forever.
De Soto had won the prize. Riches and a bride were his. Dona Isabella became his wife, and he was honored by every notable in the land. This should be the happy ending of our story. But fate does not follow the rules of story writers. Honor and wealth failed to satisfy De Soto. And in 2 years, the wanderlust came upon him again. Once more, he became the military gambler, willing to stake his life for the chance to replenish his vanishing fortune. His thoughts drifted again to America. And one night, in 1537...
I can win another fortune.
But in Florida, the wildest country in all of America, no one has ever been able to live there. It is populated by cannibals.
But did you hear what Senor Cerrito said tonight? He tells of a store of gold like nothing we have ever seen.
I never thought gold could guide the bent of a man's soul, as it has yours, Hernando.
The king will make me governor of Florida, I know. I will lead the largest expedition ever to go to America.
But what of me? More years away from each other?
You will go with me.
If that is your wish, Hernando, very well.
I knew you'd see it that way. Let us pack. I am going to see the king tomorrow.
When De Soto announced his plan to the king, the word spread through the palace and over the country like a plague. Every nobleman in Spain contracted the Florida fever. Many people sacrificed all the property they owned to join De Soto's expedition. More than a year was spent in making plans. But in April 1539, 10 ships set sail from Spain, headed for a fabled land across the sea. Nights on the open sea, weeks, and finally Santiago de Cuba, and then Havana. weeks were spent by the Spaniards living there in feasting and honoring De Soto, their new governor. But De Soto was impatient, and soon he set sail for Florida, leaving Dona Isabella behind. In less than a week, the ships carrying 600 men arrived in Tampa Bay, and the last chapter in De Soto's life began.
I tell you, Captain De Soto, we can do nothing to make these Indians our friends. They will have nothing to do with us.
Force turned them against every Spaniard. The men who attempted to settle Florida before us saw to that.
The chief with whom you communicated yesterday, Iquita, he knew the early settlers.
Indeed he did. They made a treaty of peace with him and his tribe. And then on a slight matter captured the chief, cut his nose off, had his aged mother torn to pieces by dogs. It is no wonder that he refuses us his friendship.
What was his answer yesterday?
He said that he wanted no more promises from our people. Only the heads of those who had betrayed him. If he receives them, he'll be satisfied.
Now, it's foolish to listen to these heathen. Why, we will get no gold unless we go after it. If he will not step aside, we will march over him.
March inland and have him and his people between us and our ships? What if it becomes necessary for us to make a hasty retreat?
We can sweep him and all his people before us.
Only a fool steps into a trap with his eyes open. No. We must think of some way to gain the friendship of the Indian.
Days of seeking peace with the savage tribes in Florida availed De Soto nothing. The chief Iquita was determined to be his enemy. His patience grew small, and soon he ordered raiding parties to enter the villages nearby. The object, slaves. From the slaves, they would find just where the fabulously rich mine of gold, El Dorado, was to be located. Finally, the first expedition was sent north, up through the Florida Peninsula to search for the trail to El Dorado. Days and weeks, and then word from the expedition. They were at last on the trail of El Dorado. Hurried preparations. And then, with most of his army, De Soto set out to join the expedition that had gone ahead of him in the wilderness. Days and nights of fighting off attacks from the Indians. Heat, swamps to be crossed, death behind every tree. And then after many days, not far from the Suwannee River in Florida.
Well, we've been here 2 days now, Governor De Soto. Perhaps the chief means to be peaceful after all.
Do not be taken in so easily, Captain. The chief is too cordial. He is just fattening us up for the feast to come later.
Then why do we stay?
Because anyone else would leave, and I am not anyone else.
That man who just walked out of the chief's tent, he's coming towards us.
Don't glare at him like that. He has something to say to us.
Governor De Soto?
Yes.
My chief has planned entertainment, which he hopes you will receive graciously.
What is this entertainment?
He asks if you will do him the honor of reviewing his warriors.
Is this not rather unusual?
Oh, no. It is quite customary among our people.
Tell him that I accept, and that it is also customary with the Spaniards to do the same in return for the honor which you do us.
I will tell him.
The chief thought we'd be taken in by that plan. Wait till he hears my message.
I will tell the men to be armed.
Your powers of perception amaze me. Yes, tell the men to be ready for any emergency.
See how the chief looks at our soldiers. He does not like the appearance of their strength.
His warriors seem to be unarmed.
Perhaps we have been wrong.
Perhaps, but...
Look! Why, look, the Indians! Their bows and arrows were hidden in the grass.
They're attacking! Seize the chief! Order the cavalry forward! Forward!
Then, because of the wariness of De Soto, the Spanish troops were saved from annihilation. The Indians were no match for the Spaniards in open battle and were routed with much loss of life. The chief and most of his warriors were slain, and De Soto continued into the wilderness. More and more days in the wilderness, trouble at every turn, then discouragement among the followers of De Soto. The El Dorado for which they were searching seemed now to be only a myth. There were mutterings of turn back, but De Soto had gone too far now. He spurs his forces onward, only to find that his captured Indian guides have led him far off the trail.
A year has passed since they left Florida. This is new country to them, never before explored by white men. Thick forests in what is later to be known as the state of Georgia. On and on they march northward. Finally, DeSoto and his men take up their course along the banks of the Alabama River, and after many days reach the home of a chief named Tuscaloosa. Then they are startled by an amazing sight.
Governor, Governor DeSoto, look, coming towards us.
A giant. See how small the Indians appear beside him.
He must be the chief of these people.
Ortiz?
Yes, yes, Governor.
That giant of a man. Ask the natives who he is.
He is the chief. See how they march cowed before him.
Do you speak the language of these people?
I'm not sure, Governor. I will try to see if I can make them understand.
Never have I seen a man of such size. He must be at least 7.5 feet tall.
He is looking towards us as if we were diseased. That contemptuous look on his face irks me.
Quiet. We've had enough trouble with natives already. Let us try to make our meeting with this man a peaceful one.
Governor. Yes. Governor.
I've talked to the natives. The chief's name is Tuscaloosa.
Well, does he not wish to talk to me?
He says that if you wish to talk to him, you will get off your horse and come to him.
Indeed. Come then. I have some business to talk over with this man.
The giant chief Tuscaloosa receives DeSoto only with disdain. Seeking to gain his friendship, DeSoto flatters and attempts to amuse his unwilling host. But Tuscaloosa only stares disinterestedly. Finally, his patience exhausted, DeSoto seizes Tuscaloosa and holds him prisoner. The giant Indian was incensed, but the Spaniards looked too formidable to attempt escape. So the chief decided upon another course of action. In a few days...
Tuscaloosa has decided to meet your demands, Governor.
I thought he would. Well, where are the carriers?
There is a condition.
A condition?
Yes. He will give you 400 carriers here, and the rest at Mabilla.
Mabilla?
It's one of his towns down the river.
And there he will give us more carriers?
Yes, Governor.
I see no harm in it. We will go.
Six days later, the river is crossed, and soon the palisaded town of Mabilla comes in sight. The Spanish enter the walls. Chief Tuscaloosa striding ahead of them.
Governor, Governor.
What is it, Ortiz?
Tuscaloosa. He tells me he must speak to the other chiefs before he will give us the carriers.
He is going into that hut over there.
I knew it. A trick. If we let him go in there, we'll never get our carriers. I'm going to stop him.
Come back here.
I'm going to stop him.
You, Tuscaloosa! What, Chestnut? Miss Lovitor!
Stop! Do you hear me? Stop!
Come back here! Stop!
You will not listen to me! It
will make you... He has cut off one of the Indian's arms! Governor! Governor! They're attacking! The Indians are coming from everywhere! Run!
Shoot
run for your life!
Men. Shoot as you run! Don't let them take you!
For hours, the battle raged, DeSoto and his men retreating until they were able to rally their forces in the open field outside the town. Then, surrounding the wall, the Spanish made charge after charge, the Indians wilting under the withering attack. Soon the walls were reached by DeSoto and his men. Firebrands were thrown within the walls, and soon the huts were a blazing mass of scorching heat. Sweeping through the town, the screams of the dying filled the air. Not one Indian escaped from the flaming pyre that had been the town of Mabilla. Spain had won another victory. But 20 men had been killed and 148 wounded. The men were in rags. The pearls had been lost. The blow was a crushing one to DeSoto and his men. Nothing could cheer the men, and it was only with the greatest effort that he was able to start the march again. But discouragement has fixed itself deep in the hearts of the men. 2 years have passed and still El Dorado has not been found. Only a small part of the force remains alive. Indians, disease, and hardships have taken their toll. Then in the summer of 1541, DeSoto and his men gaze upon a sight never before seen by the eyes of any white man.
This river, I have never seen anything like it. Like a huge muddy arm.
See how the current tosses those huge trees around.
as though they were chips.
And how are we going to cross it?
Cross it? Are we going on? Who knows how wide this river might be?
We have not yet found El Dorado, have we?
I am beginning to think there is no El Dorado.
Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre.
Burning fever racks the body of De Soto. Day after day he lies in his tent, wasting away from the fever. He is alone with his
thoughts.
Governor De Soto. De Soto. Is he? Yes. Soto is dead.
De Soto was buried just outside the gate of the village, but the Indians noticed the freshly dug grave and the alarm spread among the Spaniards. In the dead of night, they dug up the remains of their leader and carried him toward the river. Dirty gray fog hangs over the Mississippi. The moon scuds from behind a cloud, stares at the strange procession, and then darkness falls over the river again. A boat pushes off from the shore. The river raises its muddy arms to receive the shrouded form of De Soto into its bosom. His body hangs over the water for an instant, and then De Soto the wanderer, De Soto the rainbow chaser, soldier, explorer, and trailblazer, disappears forever into the waters which he discovered. The bubbles swirl. The river carries him off into the fog.
But still, you have not heard the whole story of Fernando De Soto. For that, you must turn to books. You can receive free of charge a leaflet listing outstanding books on De Soto and other subjects of the World Is Yours program. Just write The World Is Yours, Washington, D.C., and ask for the Great Doors leaflet.